Hello, you beautiful people. Welcome to season 2 of the Sustainability Podcast. This is Pratiksha and I'm with my co-host Prateek. And we welcome you to the Sustainability 101 Podcast.
Yay, hi everyone. Hi Pratiksha. So first things first, the Sustainability 101 Podcast is here to help you explore both the joy and benefits of sustainable living. The podcast highlights how the youth are interested in taking initiatives for bringing about the sustainability revolution with information and insights from the world's most inspiring change makers.
So, Prateek, ready to introduce our guest?
Yes, why not? So, our guest today is super cool, a born entrepreneur, and someone you guys should definitely hear about. With a love for video games and an eye for business, he's been hatching ideas since the 11th grade. Having worked in several startups like Gaimanite and DigiHealth since he graduated in 2019, he's made a huge impact in the last 2 years.
Since it started, his company Paisi is dedicated to helping investors invest in clean and green assets. This platform has helped make sustainability accessible to everyone with affordable investment as low as 5,000 rupees. We love Paisi and what it's doing for sustainable companies, and we can't wait to hear more about it.
Absolutely, Pratiksha. Paisi is also creating an open space carbon audit, which we are really looking forward to seeing. So let's introduce the man behind this magic. Kaustu Padakanya. Welcome, Kaustu.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Kaustu, we are so happy to have you here.
And we so admire the work you are doing, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. Like, seriously, I think... Number one, I really need to point out that you guys have done some really good research. I'm curious to find out how you found most of these facts, right? This whole 11th grade story and all of it. Like, good job on some research, seriously. I don't remember speaking to you guys before this, so seriously fascinated with that, right? And thanks a lot for the intro. I couldn't have put it in better words than that.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, we totally understand.
Our pleasure, Kaustu, because it's me and our team, like, you know, which makes this complete, and kudos to them for also doing the research and coming up with like the inspiring moments from your life.
Yeah, amazing. So let's move ahead. So first question to you. And I wanted to say, wow, Kaustu, talk about an entrepreneurial spirit. What drew you to entrepreneurship so early?
You know, interesting question, right? In fact, when you ask it, I actually start thinking about it because I've never really put some thought into why I'm doing what I'm doing. Okay. Beyond the fact of, that I connect with the problem statement, right? But why I chose the entrepreneurial route is a pretty interesting question. And to be very honest, I think it comes down to what really gets me motivated, right? And the way I see it, I think I can break it down to two reasons, right? First, I think I believe is something that I love the most, right? Which is tech. Technology, especially computers, have fascinated me, and it still does for that matter. And according to me, I believe it's a canvas, right? That gives you the opportunity to create new stories, products, which you think about it, right? When you just give some thought to it, isn't really possible through any other medium, right? Other than computers. And from pretty early age for that matter, right? Actually back when I was 5 or 6 years old, we got our first home computer, right? And it had me hooked from there on. I was drawn into the medium of video games, virtual storytelling. To be very honest, it blew away all of my, 1.5 kilograms of brains that I did have back then as a kid, and got me really hooked into computers. And to be very honest, I think that's what got me into the development side of things as well, beyond just consuming technology, right? I liked using my computer as a canvas, solving problems that I really loved, connected with. And I think that really segues into the second reason for why I'm doing what I'm doing. While I really love tech, I value and love problem statements even more, right? I don't find tech exciting if it isn't coupled with a problem statement that I connect with or I believe in. Throughout my journey, I've worked on technologies that when you look at it, right, and if you made a report card out of it, they're completely unrelated stuff. I started with game development, went to blockchain, went to augmented reality and virtual reality, went to machine learning. You know, it really sounds bizarre when you look at the progression that way, because you hear people who have taken up one core competency and stuck with it for the rest of their lives. What I genuinely value more are the problems that I really solved with those technologies, right? And I think that's the biggest advantage of being an entrepreneur that I love. You really get to choose the problems that you want to solve. You know, if that makes any sense. You connect with the problem first and then find which technologies complement the solution. You don't work it out the other way around, right? You don't look at tech and say, listen, I'm good at blockchain or I'm good at AR, VR. Let me do something now, right? You always find the problem that you connect with and say, listen, I think AR, VR could be a solution for this, right? And because I'm good at tech, I'll be able to, you know, use my core competencies to solve it. And throughout the course of my experience, right, you know, beyond just this tech and the problem statement story, working in smaller, more focused teams, I think I've learned a lot more than even my degree could provide, right? And that's what I love about it. You know, the sense of ownership, responsibilities that come with it, the pride, and even, you know, to a certain extent, the emotions. I can assure you that, you know, they're the only ones possible only because I'm an entrepreneur today. I know when I go back and rewind some of the things that I've just told you in the last 2-3 minutes, it sounds too cheesy. But at the end of the day, it is true, right? And, you know, there were countless hours that my co-founder at Paise, Vinay, and I have worked for, you know, 24 hours straight sometimes, you know, pizzas and Coke included, to put out something that we are immensely proud of, right? And that is what matters to me the most. Because every time that we work on something today and we put our effort and we put it out, it's something that we are genuinely proud of. Right. Mm-hmm. And we make it a point to ensure that the people using it are also proud of it. And that is essentially the experience that got me my hook, right? That my high, you know, lack of better words. I've always worked in teams where my impact is visible. You know, coincidentally, all of those teams ended up becoming startups. So yeah, that's pretty much the only reason, right? Why, you know, tech, the problem statements that I encountered, and the people that I worked with. I wouldn't have got this experience if I wasn't an entrepreneur.
Oh, this is a brilliant thing. And I'm glad you discovered it all by yourself. And I'm glad your tech background helped you to get through this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I was reading a book and even in that book, there was a quote like, you know, make the problem your best friend and don't just fall in love with the solution. Just fall in love with the problem rather than falling in love with the solution. So eventually,
Seriously, I think you couldn't have sound more of a prophet than that, right? Like, I think I'm going to probably print that up and put it on my board.
I was going to say, I can suggest you the book like which I was reading. So it's Lean Impact by Annie Mae Cheng.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think that's the that should be the North Star for most of the people, right? Even if you're an entrepreneur or not. It doesn't really make sense on a, you know, or it doesn't sound really sustainable as a career. If you are just stuck loving the technology, like there's obviously research and development and things like that, that's a completely different story. But, you know, on a day-to-day perspective, it's always a good idea to connect yourself with the problem you're solving and not doing just because you're getting the salary. So, exactly. You know, that's I think, you know, something that I personally have.
Yes. So moving ahead, coming to the next question, which is, it's more of like, you know, technical. So I want to know, like, what is green investing and how is Paise working in this field? What is its business model? And what is like, how do you guys differentiate yourself from the rest of the industry players?
Right. You know, I think before I really answer the question, I think it's good to set context through common ground with you guys as well, right? So, you know, what has your experience? Let me just, you know, go back and become the host for the next 5 minutes. really, really understand and ask you a question, right? What's your experience been in terms of understanding people's thought process on climate change and sustainability, right? I'm not talking about, you know, your conversations with big companies or, you know, the ESG teams or the executives or the PR people. I'm not talking about those guys. Not even the colleagues that you have in this, you know, the climate space. I'm talking about the, you know, the regular person, right? Your friends, your family. Basis your conversations, right? How do they perceive climate change and do they really want to do something about it?
So for me, like, you know, when I share something or when I talk about climate change with my friends, their opinion is like, they know it's like, you know, it's happening, it's like you cannot change it, you cannot run from it. But at the same time, since they are not involved in this sector, they don't care much about it. They're like, they want to see things change, but they don't want to be the part of the change. I mean, they don't want to initiate some new thing, like adopt some sustainable habits, but they want everyone else to do it for them. So which is like, I have seen commonly. And that really tells about the thought process of a person for me, like how they are responding to like this big of a climate crisis. And they're like, you know, they have their priorities, and I can clearly see like climate change is not the priority for some of the people, not for everyone, but for some of the people out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think Pratiksha had something.
Yeah. So the journey began when I was, I hated people using plastic. And if you're using and eating a less packet, you keep it in your, after using it, you keep it in your bag. Or so my mom and dad always told me that thing. But one day I realized that people are educated, but they are not doing their part. And even the plant is there, they are literally, bachche jaake uske leaf tod rahe, parents unko kuch nahi bol rahe. I was thinking, ki, which, what making them to live in this, on this planet? And one day I just realized that, is there any course or is there any degree I can, you know, fight with them? And I wanted to become an officer that time. As an environmental officer, I can shout to anyone, because when I went to college one day, the officer were cutting the people were there and they were cutting the tree, because wo obviously fall down honge to car wagera kharab honge. And I was like, literally, I wanted to talk to them. I went there, I talked to them that, you know, guys, you should not cut this tree. And they are like, who are you? And what is your, like, I was very frustrated that time that I wanted to take some like action. Mujhe kuch to karna hai. And then I get to know ki environmental science is there. Then I convinced my mom that was like, no, don't go there. There is no job opportunity over there. I'm like, main create karungi. I will do something. I'm literally that leader kind of a thing. And I'm like, dad said, ki, you know what? There are no job ability after that. If people earning 50 lakhs, CTP, like whatever, the 5 lakhs, vagera kamate, aur tumne nahi kamaya, to tumko bura lagega. Go to engineering and something. I said, no. I wanted to do environmental science. I wanted to become an officer. When I ended up into this, I realized that, dude, this is such a mess, and politicians are not even listening to us. They are like, these people don't exist. Environmental activists, what is it? And I was so confused, and I was partially unbiased to the people who are working for the climate change, who are not listening to us. And I thought, ki, what is the way out for this? And should I do something? And akela voice kar sakta hai kuch to, but then people in the community should work together. Then I joined Earth Fire, where I met Pratik. And then I saw that there are some things which I can help, and I can tell my parents that I am doing something which is making sense, because they were like, what is sustainability? What is Marathi mein meaning kya hai iska? Because I am from Maharashtrian background. And I couldn't tell them ki what is sustainability. And right. Then, so this is how I feel. And I am literally being, you know, activist at my house. So every time I talk to my parents, like everything about don't do this, ye karo mat, wo karo mat, this is harmful and CO2 emission. There are some people don't get me. And even if I am traveling somewhere, main kisi ko bolti hu to mujhe hi wapas gaali milti hai. So I'm like, right now I'm my part of this, just I have a podcast, I can talk to people on there and they can understand me. So whatever knowledge I have, I I got a Medium to share. So I'm using this Sustainability 101 platform to share my opinion and save the planet. Whatever in my hand, I am doing it.
That's actually great, right? And I think number one, I think in the last 5 minutes, I have fulfilled my dream of becoming a podcast host, listening to you guys. And number two, I think if I had 5% of the conviction that you did, Pratiksha, I would have probably put my, you know, college up and down as well when I did my engineering. Seriously, I think now that I think about it, there have been, you know, instances and actions that were adverse, but I didn't really put my, you know, finger on it and point it out. But yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of us are learning, and which is actually super interesting of what both of you guys told, right? There are both these kinds of people. One who basically understands the problem, acknowledges it, right? Says, hi, I exist with that. Like, I know it exists, right? And then there are the other side of people who are doing it because they don't see the adversities of it, right? Or they don't believe the adversities are of a direct impact to them, right? Now, irrespective of what it is, right? You know, everyone that we spoke to when we started off Paise originally, people that we spoke to were always bullish about climate action, right? They connected with the problem, the whole gravity of the situation, right? And they believed something had to be done. Like, kuch to karna hai sort of attitude existed, right? But their thoughts pretty much end with acknowledging climate change exists. They never really translate into climate action, right? That is a huge disconnect that existed when we spoke to people, especially on an individual level. Right. When you think about it, you can't really blame these people for it. Right. I'm not talking about the ones that cut the tree. I'm talking about, you know, the kind of relatives that Pratik spoke to. Right. The ones who said, listen, I don't know. I don't really know what to do. Right. Because to be very candid and honest, right. Let's say that I broke into someone's house tonight. Right. I wake them up, you know, right in the middle of the night. You know, assume that guy's a completely middle-class sort of a person, right? Middle-class family. He was sleeping. I woke him up. I had a gun against his head. And I told him, listen, you have to either buy a petrol scooter or an electric scooter with your savings, right? You need to make the decision right now, right? Highly likely, I'm 100% sure, in fact, that he is going to say, listen, I'll buy a petrol scooter. Now, why is that? Because in short term, the economics make more sense. Right, 50,000 rupees for a Honda Activa versus 1,50,000 for an Ather is a huge difference.
Correct.
Right, and the same goes with power. Many live in apartments that consume power through the grid, but can't really shift to renewable because people don't have the influencing power in their society. Right, that can go down and say, listen, you know what? I want solar rooftops right now. Right, or let's say that if you had an independent house. Technically, people wouldn't agree to put a solar rooftop because they think the upfront cost is high, right? Now, since we are from the whole sustainability background, we understand that the operational costs in the long term are low, right? But to motivate individuals on an individual level, right, to go to sustainable or greener solutions is only a matter of time as technology becomes cheaper and more accessible. Right, it's like how phones today are now, you know, the most let's say advanced high level phones that were 5 years ago are today as form factors of 11,000 rupees and 12,000 rupees. Right, it's only a matter of time that it becomes more accessible. But what can we do until then? Right, do we sit down and wait till Amazon converts all of their plastic packaging to cardboard? Is waiting for someone like Apple, you know, to go carbon negative by 2030, is that going to solve the climate problem? Because the problem that exists today, when you think about it, is the false belief that if large players like Amazon, Microsoft, or Apple go green, the world will magically become a better place, right? But to be very honest, what people really miss out is individual action is just as important as larger players, right? Now, with that being the context to the problem, what is the solution, right? Is there any way an individual can contribute or invest in impact, right? And I'm sure if we opened up this discussion for a few more people to join in and share ideas, everyone is going to now come and say, listen, agar invest karna hai sustainability mein, toh ESG is the solution, right? You have Motilal Oswals, you have your Axis Banks, you have a lot of fund managers today that are managing ESG portfolios, right? And it's a really popular market. Now, yes, the concept sounds novel. It sounds like something that could, really mold a company's action, right? Making them choose sustainable solutions and, you know, because the incentives that exist.
Yeah.
But can I really measure the impact, right? That's the first question. And, maybe if I take even a step back, are we even confident that ESG portfolios today are made of companies that are ESG compliant, right? Because if you look at it, in fact, I think a few fund managers back in the US as well started taking in companies into the portfolio only so that that portfolio can outperform the index in the market, right? So that they can give good returns, right? Mm. They don't care if the company was ESG compliant or not. And even if you look at it in India's perspective, some fund managers take some companies basis their ESG matrix, some of them don't, right? So what is the definition for it? There isn't really a common ground for it. Now, let's say that ESG is not the solution, right? If not ESG, the next source of money in or capital coming into impact is basically through impact investments, right? But then the next question that comes from a typical mindset of an Indian who goes out and asks, even goes into, let's say, a Mercedes showroom and asks for mileage, is return on investment cap, right? Many people still associate sustainability investments to be philanthropy, right? And I think the concept of triple bottom line, right, is what's most important for everyone to keep in mind. A sustainability product to become mainstream should help the environment, society, and the economy. And exactly. What's lacking today, right, in a product that is a product that, is at the intersection of all three. And that is where we come in, right? That's where Paise comes in. Because we had a very simple problem statement, right? When you look at it on a perspective, if I were to explain to someone, our problem statement is pretty simple. How do we let the common Joe, people like, you and me, to invest in sustainability and make the impact both accountable and visible, right? Because for an individual who can't look at going carbon negative through renewables or EV adoption, he can for sure look at going green through offsetting his carbon footprint.
Yeah.
And at Paise, we look at sustainability projects like renewable energy, electric mobility, organic farming, hydroponics as financial instruments, right? We let people own fractions of these physical assets that generate month-on-month revenues, right? Because what this allows investors to do is, number one, they're making monthly returns, and number two, offsetting their carbon footprint, which when you think about it is a win-win deal. Right, and the projects that we have do both carbon offsetting as well as decarbonization. Right, now if I were to condense all of this gyan that I gave in the last 5 minutes down to a single line, we're basically a fixed deposit that creates impact.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Nothing more than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like the way you derived at answering the question how Paise is different from the rest of the industry players. Really good answer, I can say. Though also one thing which I really liked about is you talked about individual action, right? And with this with this podcast, we had this aim to create community awareness. And in our season one also, what we used to do is in every episode we used to talk about individual measures which can be adopted at your household level or at your office level or something, wherein these small steps can contribute can have a bigger impact. Like if one starts doing it and then this one turns to two and two to so many people start adapting to it.
Yeah. And I think, even in terms of what you tried to say, right? I think it's a fabulous solution which brings in mass adoption, right? Yeah. One person looking at the other person doing it and doing on, that's basically social play into it, right? There is social validation. to what's happening. What I think all of us, especially, you know, you guys are already doing it with the podcasts. What all of us should also do internally is to make this a logical solution, right? Because what I think we lack, I don't say we lack, it's more of misinformation in the system. But, you know, sustainability is considered, for many people, spread the word as a cool thing, right? Not as something that you must do to solve a problem, right? It you know, somewhere between the hashtags on social media and actual action, there is a disconnect that is created, right? And that, I think, if bridged through some of the activities that you guys are already doing, right? And some of the pseudo-activism that's needed, right? Definitely not beating people up for going, you know, non-sustainable, but going to a point of making them really understand why they should do it and making it more personal, right? Making them understand the economics of it, for that matter. People understand money very well.
Exactly.
And if you bring it down to economics, that's when people start understanding why they should do
it. Yeah, because eventually it concerns them, their, like, you know, their financial status. So they are like, you know, they understand it in a better way. And I feel like sustainability is, people, when they hear sustainability, is just like, oh, it is, it has to deal with something environmental and stuff. Yeah. But it is not like that for me. Sustainability is just not restricted to environmental. It's restricted. There's something called a social sustainability, economic sustainability.
Yes.
These are like very important things, and these have been completely, like, you know, represented in the SDG 2030 goals. SDG doesn't talk about just environmental sustainability. If you see, like, these 17 goals are so wholesome, and they comprise of so many things that they target each and every sector of the society.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really wanted to say that you explained it, how PYSE work is really interesting. And you guys, you are listening to it. And if you want to ask any other question, and if you have any further question for Kaustubh, you can look up for their website called PYSE.in, which is, should I spell it? For
P-Y-S-E.in.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think this is really important for our world to, you know, look for the green energy and green investing, because this is what we are, like, this is what going to save us. And I think you should really look up for the Kaustubh, this like Kaustubh initiative, which is he created, and you can get all the answers on his website. And sure, check it out. And okay, so let's get back to the next question. So moving on, what are the benefits of investing in green assets as compared to traditional investment option?
Right. So, you know, I think a little bit of that answer is sort of interwoven in the answer that I gave for the previous question. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Because when you think about it as a you know, as traditional investment products today, right, it's a very straightforward spectrum. There are safe products like fixed deposits on one end, which are basically debt products. Then on the extreme opposite end, you have equity, right, which is your stocks, and somewhere in the middle you have mutual funds. Now, for the last God knows how many years, we are stuck with these three. We want to put money into this. If you have more money, then you end up putting it in fixed deposit. If you want to try something risky, you'll put it in stocks. Else, you put it in mutual fund if you don't have the time to understand anything. Question is, if the market goes up or down, all three products are going to fluctuate.
Yeah, right? True.
Just to give you some context, COVID happened. Fixed deposits now make less money than inflation in India, right? It's crazy how people are actually paying for taxes than they would earn from a fixed deposit today, right? Traditional products are great, right? It's great because it provides stability. It provides, you know, that level of, you know, understandability in terms of risk profile, right? Because people have been investing in this for a long time. My parents still tell me to put my money in a fixed deposit for a reason, because they understand what the product does. The problem, because of that, what has happened is, as retail investors, right, as in average middle-class families who have been stuck with these three things, haven't really looked up to say, listen, how are the rich people getting richer? right?
Yes.
If mm-hmm. I'm putting money in the same places that those guys are, then why are they getting richer and not me, right? And that was the main reason why we started exploring Paise a little more, because we're like, listen, it can't just be these three things, right? It can't just be market-dependent products. There has to be something outside of this domain. And I think that is the, I wouldn't say secret sauce, but I can't really find the best word for it. But I think that's the North Star for us in terms of what we're building, right? Because people who are, having a lot of money, they're obviously diversifying their risks beyond the market products, right? So they're putting it into real estate, they're putting it into gold, why a lot of projects like this, right? But what's interesting when we started delving into alternative asset classes a bit more, right? Ones that are market independent, is renewable energy and electric mobility has been minting money for HNIs, your high net worth individuals, for a long time, right? Solar has been booming for a lot of people because people started looking at it as good financial instruments for 25 long years, right?
Yes.
Solar projects have a life of 25 years and, the payments are very steady. So people are like, listen, I'm getting 13-14%. My fixed deposit makes 4%. Why the hell would I put money in a fixed deposit then? But that is not something that a common man would have thought of because we never knew it existed. Right, we never knew that there is something called alternative asset classes that I could put money into, because I have been conditioned to fixed deposit, mutual funds, equity. That's because my bank, the moment I create my bank account, he's going to come and tell me this exact same thing. That is where Paise is different, right? Because we look at this investment product being outside of the traditional means of investing, number one, right? That is on the financial instrument side because we're making it market independent. I don't care if there's a recession. I don't care if there's COVID. I don't care if there's a lockdown. Your returns are fixed and does not change, right? Number two, right, is on the sustainability side of things, which is the, I'd say it's basically the overarching concept of Paise, right? And why we chose sustainability is basically two reasons. Number one, it is the need of the hour, right? I can't be any more blatant than that and any more cliche than that. You have companies today that are shifting to greener solutions who are looking for financing. So if you are, let's say, a manufacturing company that wants to shift to solar power, the only solution you have is to go take loan from a bank or an NBFC, right? And they are going to charge a hell lot of money, or they'll ask you for collaterals, right? But then I have people here who are sitting with a fixed deposit of 4-5% returns. I can ask them to invest in your project and have it financed, right? These people are now shifting to greener solutions, and now is the best time than ever to actually put your money on green, right? You have companies that are shifting to greener solutions, not because they have to fix some ESG quota, but they're doing it because it makes economical sense to them. Yeah. Power, let's say if you were consuming it from the grid versus consuming power from renewables, there's almost a 50% difference, right? It's crazy how it makes logical sense and economical sense to go green. And it's a great financial product for people to put money into. Number two, if you are someone who wants to really see impact happening in real world, right? And that's a huge number, by the way. ESG funds in India today, there's nearly about 10,000 to about 15,000 crore rupees of AUM in ESG mutual funds today across different fund houses, right? There are people who want to see impact, and Paise is the only product that actually comes in this intersection of triple bottom line, right? Because number one, when you finance a project on Paise, right? Let's say that you finance a solar project in Paise. Number one, you're obviously creating environmental impact, right? You are shifting an entire manufacturing plant from going from coal-based power to something that's more sustainable. Number two, setting these projects up, which is large scale, creates new jobs. So there's a human angle to this. You're helping people in the local area as well to get new jobs and set these projects up. Number three is the language that people understand, Paisa, right? People get their returns. There is a return on investment, and it's not philanthropy, right? So now we are giving, and moreover, on top of all of this, we make all of this impact visible to our investors. So if you log in onto Paise and you check our product out and see which investment product you want to put money into, every month you get to see how much carbon footprint you have offset, right? And that is very critical because, interestingly enough, our investors have changed the definition of SIP, right? They're not looking at it as systematic investment plan where they're putting money every month to compound their returns. They're actually investing every month so that they can cut out on their carbon footprint, and they start going carbon neutral at least, right? Which is pretty interesting. Now you've started changing the mindset of people to get sustainable, because the initial hook for them to come in was paisa milega, right? And, that's pretty much why Paise is a completely differentiated product from the competition, right? Because we are not competing with the traditional products. We are a complement to it, right? And in terms of what is against us in competition, it's real estate and gold, right? And against both of them, we create a lot more impact than any of those two. So, yeah, that's basically where we're at.
That's so cool. And like when you're saying this, I just had this question like which popped inside my head. As we all know, that impact is something which is really like, I guess near and dear to us, everyone in the meeting. But like impact measurement can help create like systematic and sustainable change. So I wanted to know, like, okay, could you tell us like in real, in a crisp way that how Paise does their impact measurement? Like, is there a tool or is there some kind of impact metrics which you guys use to assess the impact?
Mm-hmm. So we actually have this thing, right? So right now, in terms of our product being almost 7 to 8 months old, we have an internal tool that we take to measure some of the impact that's created, right? So all of these assets are operational and live. So electric vehicles are currently being used by companies, solar projects are generating power, and I have real-time data for all of this, right? How many units of electricity was generated? How many kilometers have my scooter ridden, right? How many crops have actually been grown and harvested? That data is something that we use in our internal matrix to give you how much carbon has been offset. However, we see a longer-term product out of this, right? A derivative product, in fact, out of this. And I'm guessing a lot of your listeners would probably already know about the concept of carbon credits, right? Because that is the carbon credits is actually a gold mine that our investors are sitting on that they don't know of, right? Carbon credits are of huge value, maybe not in India, but outside India for sure. But, like I've said in multiple other forums, carbon is a geography agnostic unit, right? It can go anywhere in the world and carbon still is the same. It's the same impact. So we are actually working with the other companies and folks to create a consortium for accountability of carbon, right? And this consortium is actually helping us streamline and create a metric of measure that will then be common for other startups like us also who want to calculate impact, right? And the way I want to see this going forth, right, especially impact on Paise, the best parallel that I can give is the nutrition chart that you would see at the back of your Tetra Packs. Right, you see this nutrition chart that says, listen, if you drank 0.5 liters or a liter of this juice, this is how much carbohydrates you have, this is how much protein, and all of that breakdown is pretty straightforward. So when people actually want to buy a product tomorrow, there should also be a breakdown of the impact that's created for it, right? What has been the carbon offsets because of this, right? What are the new jobs that were created because of this, right? If it's organic farming, then what exactly is the heavy metal that's been sequestered, on the farmland, right? How much more water has been restored? That breakdown is what I believe going to be the core of what Paise is going to build in the future and what Paise wants to make open for other entrepreneurs as well, right? To use our metrics and make it more open for their consumers also to see. So we have a certain, a current framework in place to calculate the impact, which is very vanilla and straightforward. But we are working with other entrepreneurs and, folks at Hyperledger or IBM to build out a consortium that now doesn't just become Paise's metrics, but everyone's sustainability metrics.
All right. That's good to know. Yeah, so moving on, you say like you love video games, so do our listeners. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So if you were to start another gaming studio, which we hope you do, so what would you do to make that industry like more sustainable?
Okay. To be very honest, I think the gaming industry contributes to climate change as much as any other software company. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, end of the day, they're still building software. And I think for it to really become sustainable, it's more on the secondary actors, you know, people like, let's say, cloud providers, right, who have to start becoming more sustainable. So cloud computing, if you look at it, is actually crucial in facilitating the countless hours of multiplayer games that we play on our phones and our consoles, right? And in the near future, cloud is basically going to help with even streaming video games like we stream Netflix today. But if I were to take my learnings from Paise, right, and maybe in the future just get a job in the video game industry, I guess I'd be working to cut down the carbon footprint in a game's life cycle, right, from production all the way down to distribution. You know, how can we incentivize people to shift from, let's say, physical discs to digital mediums, right? How can you reduce the waste generated through computer and gaming hardware, or even peripherals for that matter, right? While there are 10% of the users that like to keep PS2 today for sentimental value, the rest have probably dumped it in some place, and PS2 was the largest selling computer good in the whole world, right? So you can imagine the amount of waste that was generated through that. You know, it's basically like I said, right, the underlying problem is still computer and computer waste, that I really like to, you know, really drill down on and see how we can make adoption of reusability, right, things like cloud gaming, more accessible to people. End of the day, it's just incentives, right? Anything, be it video games or not, we need to incentivize people to shift to something greener, because people need to start thinking of direct incentives, like aaj kya milega if I shift, right? They want to know that right now. But to be very honest, right, outside of this whole, the probably, I'm guessing the answer would have been a little bit more boring than you guys had expected from me.
No, this is
video games, but video games are actually a great medium for climate action, right? And I'm sure it's open for more disruption with unique products more than anything else in the world. I'm not sure if many of your listeners are aware of this, but or you guys for that matter, there's this app called Forest. Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah, I heard of it.
Right. So it's basically an app. I'll just give you a short context. It's an app that helps you focus on your thoughts and try and make you use your phone a little less. Right.
Yes. Yes. You can download it on an Android or iPhone.
Exactly. So what's interesting is the less that you use your phone, the game grows something called virtual plants. Right. So the less that you use your phone, it creates this entire jungle for you. And as and when you don't use your phone, this tree starts growing virtually. Right. But every time a tree is grown, a real tree is actually planted in the real world. That's actually fun, unique and green.
Right? I just downloaded that app. It's so cool.
It's really freaking cool. Right. And it's crazy how you think when you think about it. It's making your process of not using your phone fun and at the same time making sustainable default, right? While it's obviously not the high octane adrenaline pumping kind of games, they are still concepts that wouldn't have been possible without gaming today, right?
Yes.
And I think more unique concepts like this is something that I would definitely want to work on. But yeah, once again, interesting question, right? Came out of the left field. And for sure, I'll be troubling you guys for another interview when I do get back to game development and answer this question with all the confidence.
We'd love that.
But for the time being, I think more unique concepts like Forest need to be put out into the market where you don't install the app because it's sustainability related. You install the app for your own use case, but it's doing sustainable stuff, right? So that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's good. It's like a win-win situation, hitting two birds from one stone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, when I get to know about the Forest, I literally look up for LinkedIn and who is the founder of this app, because the app and the initiative you see now, nobody thinks of it, because there is another Google search we can use, and where if we search 100 or 200 searches, they plant a tree. Pratika, I told you before about
it's something called Ecosia or something like
Ecosia.
That.
Where, right. Good one. Yeah. So when that time when I get to know about it, I literally added in the Chrome. So Ecosia, whenever I use something or search something, it planted a tree over somewhere else. And actually, right now there are a lot of people working in carbon offsetting and carbon carbon credit. So I think this is a great method, or we can use, or companies can use, to emit a certain amount of carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases. And this is like, trees are a great thing. And apart from whatever whatever technology you use, you can't, literally the oceans are the greatest sink of CO2. And I think there is no other best way to reduce our carbon dioxide. And this is the best way. And Forest is a great app. Everybody should use it and should download it. And it is the best thing. And thank you so much, Kaustubh, to, bringing this up to us and the hundreds and thousands of listeners who are listening to it. My next question is, what do investors look for in a sustainable company? Do you have any idea?
So I think, if I were to break this down, I think even if I were to get a chance to talk to other entrepreneurs in the sustainability space, to be very honest, number one, I think it's high time we change the image of sustainability, right? And it should really have, it needs a lot, it has this long due makeover, to be very honest. Should, number one, start with moving away from the idea of, I'm literally doing air quotes right now, it's philanthropy, right? Or again, air quotes, I need to be sustainable so that it makes me a cool person on social media, right? And I think redoing that image is possible when we really keep that whole idea of this triple bottom line as a North Star, right? Now, if I were a sustainable entrepreneur, right? For me to be taken seriously, the idea of sustainability has to, number one, become mainstream, right? And making it mainstream is possible if it hits all of the three verticals of the triple bottom line. That is where all the parties involved in the transaction really care for your product, or an investor really gives a crap about your product, right? And adopts it. Not like those fundraisers and donations, right? That day is past. Entrepreneurs should find ways to make sustainability a no-brainer entity of a product, and not as an add-on, right? Sustainability shouldn't be a plus-plus. For a product saying, we also do sustainability, because what that makes you is a niche market product, right? And that's the core problem in the industry today, number one. And even for Paise, right? We get questioned about why we are building a product, that caters only to niche or only for people who understand sustainability, which we really don't do. At the end of the day, we are a competent financial product, right? It's better than most of the other products in the market. But that stigma isn't going anywhere, right? That I think is only a matter of time till entrepreneurs like you guys and us, we do the work of making sustainability mainstream. Now, in terms of what investors look, I think the previous gyan that I gave leads to that answer, is because, to be very honest, investors look for the same thing in all companies, right? No matter the fact that you are a sustainability focused company or not, very honest. What comes into question is always the growth in one's investment. As an investor putting money, I want to know what's the growth. That is not to say that there are lack of impact investors. Like I said previously, it's high time we spent our resources and efforts to make sustainability mainstream and in direct competition with our counterparts. Now, let's say that you speak to VCs, right? They would always always look at you as a company that should have the potential to grow 10x, right? Mm-hmm. That they don't really look at your methods of reaching there so much, to be very honest, right? Which is why we should really make sustainability interwoven and inseparable from the product, right? That being said, I won't deny that finding investments or green projects is slightly more difficult than other startups. Money does not flow as easily as it does elsewhere, right? Into other ideas and projects. But that means that we should really strengthen and build a community of other, let's say, entrepreneurs in the sustainability space or impact space that can lift each other up, right? If you, let's say, are an early stage impact startup, trying to raise your funds, right? Raise your funds and get support from angels that already believe in the problem you're solving, right?
Okay.
VCs are not the answer. It will give you enough capital from these angels to experiment and build a product that achieves product market fit, right? Once you believe that you have achieved product market fit, suddenly all the VCs are now behind you because you have a product that works in the market. You're not just a sustainability or an impact product anymore. Right? You're not an impact startup anymore. You are a living, breathing product that is literally on its way to lead the market. Right? So building connections early in the climate space, collaborating with groups like you guys, right? That have similar goals, help you reach the stage of product market fit is the way to go. Right? And at the end of the day, what's crucial, like I said, right, for sustainability to become interwoven into the product and not a standalone addition. The more we do that, the more capital that starts, flowing towards impact. Not because it's niche anymore, but because it's the only logical solution, right? In fact, some of your previous speakers as well, Vedant Gandhi for that matter, the only reason why products like RecycleX and what that even you're doing, Pratiksha, is doing too good is because you can't disassociate sustainability from that product.
Right?
At the end of the day, when a VC looks at it, he looks at it as a standalone product, right? To be very honest, it's high time that we take the stigma away saying, you are an impact company or you're a sustainability company. You're a company, right? But you're going to use sustainability to differentiate yourself from your competition, right? Who is not being sustainable? Yeah. And that is what is important for a VC. For a VC, he needs to look at sustainability being an economical plus-plus in your results, right? So, that's pretty much what, investors really look for.
Okay, Moving ahead, can you, quickly tell us, some of the key takeaways that you learned over the years and after, working in social impact startups, what are some of the important things that you learn, and can you just present it to our audience in maybe a pair or something?
I think it once again, I don't know why I'm sounding too cheesy today, but it might sound a bit cheesy when I say this, that the feeling of really seeing your product disrupting the life of someone in need is an experience I honestly cannot put into words, right? And I think my impact journey really started off in the health sector. I started with a DigiHealth platform where I worked with in the ophthalmology space, right? I used AR and VR to help, doctors in rural areas train for surgeries that they previously didn't have access to because of large equipments, right? I helped building VR headsets that allowed people to see how their post-surgical vision would be without having to spend a lakh or two on LASIK and laser surgeries. There are some problems in the world that need someone's attention immediately, right? It might not provide the immediate incentive that they might expect. That is, I think, I wouldn't say downside, but it's an experience that you'll have to go with social impact startups. But the satisfaction of your efforts really touching someone's life, it's unparalleled and something that you have to experience once at least, right? Because the moment you do that once, it's a hook. You don't really want to give up on that, right? The next time you quit your job and go somewhere else, you are going to start looking out for that high, right? And that's the kind of environment, to be very honest, that even I aspire or I want for everyone who joins Spicy in the future to have, right?
Yeah.
Or any other companies that I talk to, for that matter. I want people to experience this firsthand, right? Just like I did. And I want people to see their impact, because the next time they choose to move out, they will work harder to find an experience that is either the same or better, right?
Yeah.
But the immediate gratification, I don't think, wouldn't come in many of the places. You need to start working hard, or maybe in your free time, connect with people that are really working in this space, right? Podcasts like you're doing, for that matter. Activities like this gets people to see the impact. I can imagine the kind of listeners that you probably reaching out to you saying, listen, I learned something new that identity.
Yes,
before,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And for all you know, people are now going to text you back saying, hey, listen, I checked out Forest and it's the best thing in the whole world, right? So, but things like this is what incentivizes people to get into social impact startups, right? Because you hear things like this and say, listen, you know what? I'm getting paid also and I'm getting good reviews also. Isn't that the best thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. It's a slow burner, but once you get the hook of it, I think you're not going to leave that out.
Yeah. So, Yago, so it is really interesting to listening to you. So tell us quickly, what are your plans and goals for the future and any new businesses coming up?
Right. You know, I really don't have any other businesses coming up, right? My investors in Paise right now would be freaking out if I told them that I have another business in place. But that aside, really, no, I have no other businesses coming in place, but a lot of exciting stuff happening in Paise.
Okay, so Pratik, go ahead.
So moving on, and like, what is the one advice, Kaustubh, which you would like to give to our ecopreneurs of our generation in a sentence, like, which is like really inspiring, and after hearing this sentence, they can, like, you know, that will motivate them, that will develop something, develop a spark inside them. So what is that sentence?
You know, build real world products that require sustainability, right? Don't just make products just because you have to be sustainable. Build real world products that you know is going to create impact and couldn't have been done without sustainability, because that's when people understand the value of what you build.
Yeah, amazing. Awesome.
So thank you so much for answering those questions with so much care and enthusiasm, Kaustubh. We are waiting to see what you do next.
Yeah. And yes, now let's have some more fun. And how about a game, Pratik?
Yes, why
and
not?
yeah, absolutely.
So let us play a few rounds of icebreakers. Okay, so for those of you like playing at home, leave answers to our questions in the comments or on our Instagram when we post next. So let's begin, Kaustubh.
Yeah.
So let's begin, Kaustubh. If you could invite three people, dead or alive, to a dinner party, who would they be?
Satya Nadella, Steve Jobs, and Elon Musk, I guess.
Okay, great.
And this party, I can say that this party will go off for like on and on, because so many big people inside room, and imagine the impactful, imagine the conversations they might be having, right?
Yeah.
Okay, next one. What job did you want to have when you grew up?
To be very honest, I wanted to become a game developer. That was like my only goal in life.
Okay.
Next one. What's the first sustainable product you can see in your room right now?
Okay. I have a biodegradable water bottle. Like, it's literally right in front of me. And I can't believe I was staring at it right when you asked that question.
What are the chances?
Where is it from? Like, from where you buy that bottle?
To be very honest, I really have no clue. I couldn't plug another product. Okay. I'm sorry. I can't find the name.
Okay, cool.
Okay, next. If you could learn any language in just a minute, which would it be?
I think Russian.
Nice. Any like any reason for that?
It sounds too complicated for the other guy. Seriously.
Okay.
Okay, so fun. We totally loved your answers and your enthusiasm. And,
I guess, Pratiksha, we have time for one more game here. So,
yeah.
All right.
Pratik.
Okay, so now we would play a game that is simple but requires quick thinking. It also helps us to analyze the thought process of the person who is answering. So, no pressure.
Okay, so you have to say the first word which pops into your mind when you hear this word. Should we begin?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kaustubh, what comes to your mind when you hear green energy?
Solar.
Okay. India.
Growth.
And Earth.
Home.
Okay.
How about success?
Paise.
Business?
I don't know, entrepreneurship?
Okay, and lastly, podcast.
Oh, this is a trick one, guys. You can't do this. No, but seriously though, I trust me, I can't think of anything other than sustainability 101. So
that's not
cheating, so but that's the actual answer.
Thank you.
Actually, we wait for this answer, you know.
You got us.
Okay, so thank you so much for coming on our podcast today, Kausthubh. It was amazing to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Seriously, conversations were more engaging than I even expected. Games caught me off guard completely, but good job with that. And seriously, good. I'm sure I would have fried your brains up trying to give you as big of an answer as possible for most of these questions. But great talking to you guys. Seriously, looking forward to probably coming back sometime later as a game developer.
Yeah, and you know what? Really appreciate guests like you who set examples for our future change makers. We hope you enjoyed yourself too. And the questioning is not over yet, let me tell you. Now we've asked just those last two questions which we ask to every guest of ours. This helps our listeners to dive straight into your personalities. So are you ready for this, Kausthubh?
Yeah, all set.
Okay. So do you have any role models, especially someone who has been a motivation for you to be in the sustainable field or sustainability field?
So I think in the sustainability field per se, I think Robert Downey Jr. is an interesting person, right? For this question, especially it's people like him, right? Who've gathered a lot of wealth. Who are putting their money into great use in getting people to start adopting it, right? Or even for that matter, Nitin Kamath from Zerodha. Great people who I think are great role models, so ones who are using their wealth to actually create either more awareness or more activities in sustainability, way more than any of us would have even imagined. Would have happened, and they're great faces to become faces of sustainability, right? So now you start doing it because you see them.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Obviously, awesome, awesome.
And lastly, if you could go back like 10 years from now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
What advice would you give to your younger self? Yeah, I think don't really think of engineering to be the solution for everything. Because I think that's what happened to me, right? I took up engineering thinking that solve all of the problems that I have in my life. Even in terms of this saying, I'm going to do game development only and not open up my horizon, I would actually ask my younger self to start exploring a little faster than I would have, right? Even before than what I'd expected. So that I might be in greater height than I am in today.
Yeah, I totally agree on that, Pratiksha. They really were. And I don't know if I'm asking too many questions today, but I have just one more question for you, which popped up in my head while you were answering the previous questions. Based on your answers, I clearly see that you demonstrate, you have a good amount of understanding and knowledge about sustainable finance.
Yes.
And I know there are courses out there, people can study it. So, but what according to you, if a beginner wants to learn more about this field, so what would be the one thing which you would suggest this person should learn to begin their journey with sustainable finance?
Yeah, any book or any website link or whatever.
Right. I think it's less of a book and this thing and more of the knowledge, the asset classes itself, right? Because all of us know renewable energy, all of us know electric vehicles, but we know them as commodities we use. People don't really understand the economics behind it. But I think people should do a little bit more research on how these asset classes work as a financial product. Right. How they work, in terms of economics of it. Right. Why would people go solar versus this? It's less of what the finance is behind. I think that's the secondary question and more about how this works. Right. That's the fundamental that people need to understand. In stocks, people understand fundamentals the same way in this case, especially in sustainable finance. People should first understand how these asset classes work.
Okay. A follow-up question on that. Have you ever considered writing a blog which talks about sustainable finance and your experiences with the field?
Yeah. I've been wanting to, actually. I've been wanting to write blogs. And in fact, even we were planning on starting our own podcast series at Paise And we're definitely going to call you one day when we do.
Wow.
But I think, yeah.
I look forward to it, you know.
Yes,
I am personally going to, you know, set all the materials for you, and I'll set all the, you know, agendas and everything like for my own good, for you, for your company. Because it really, this was really interesting conversation. And you know what, this knowledge about the impact investment and the sustainability, if we collab together, it would be great for our future. And I think you have a lot of knowledge about it, and I'm learning sustainable finance right now because Pratik and I just started into this field, and we are learning.
I love the fact that you guys are delving into ESG a lot, right? I've been seeing your posts, the amazing work that you guys are doing, you know, reaching out to people in the ESG space as well as understanding the ESG space more. We seriously need you know, more people like you guys. Really pushing the envelope when it comes to sustainable financing.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I come from an engineering background. So I come from like civil engineering, and now I've changed my majors to environmental engineering. So I'm really like, you know, this is very fascinating, new, and at the same time, it's interesting. I'm like, you know, working with different companies and organizations to know more about this. And I mean, sky's the limit, I can say, in one sentence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kaustubh, for like answering our questions and answering our, like, you know, random questions. I'm sorry if we have troubled you so much during this interview, but we really loved having you.
I'm sure most of your guests finished talking in the 40th minute. And I'm sitting here extending this. Exactly, right? I see some of your podcast length at 40 minutes, and I'm literally looking at the clock, freaking the hell out if you're going to delete this whole thing.
No. This is knowledge, and this is a resource. So,
and sharing what you know, people like us have to say, it's amazing.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Kaustubh, and make sure you guys check out our Instagram, which is sustainability101, and our website is you know the website, okay?
It is www.sustainability101podcast.com with the podcast with the S in the end. And that's it. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. We really love and appreciate your support. Just keep listening to us and keep sharing with your friends. Until then, think sustainable, act responsible, and please wear a mask and take care of yourself. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.